May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. This is an extremely exciting day, and not really just from the standpoint of everything that we have going on, but because of what is going on has real spiritual significance for everyone's life. And so we see it in baptism, we see it in confirmation, we see it in new members coming in, we see it just simply in our worship service, that God is at work coming to us in various ways to fill us with His Spirit here today. And so we're going to come back to this in just a moment, but we want to look at our text for this morning in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. Which will bring us back to where we start here. But if you have a Bible in the pew or have one with you and would like to follow along, I know it's not a very long text, three verses today, 37, 38, and 39 of John chapter 7. But in that first verse, 37 of John chapter 7, this is what it says. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." Now, we have to understand really what's going on here before we even understand what Jesus is really alluding to or trying to say. But on the last day of the feast, this was the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths back in the Old Testament. It was one of the three festivals that the Israelite people or the Jewish people were required to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate. And so this feast really had three aspects to it when the Israelite people went to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. The first aspect was they were remembering what God had done for them, and we just got finished with the book of Exodus, right? They were remembering all the events of Exodus. They were remembering how they traveled around in the wilderness in portable booths or tabernacles, and they were remembering how the Lord provided what for them? We talked about it in Bible class. Manna, quail, and water. He took care of them. He provided for every bit of their daily needs. And so when they were celebrating this festival, they were remembering God's provision in their past. They were also celebrating God's provision for them right at the current time. Because this festival happened to fall at kind of around the end of the harvest season. We're familiar with that. We harvest our grain. Well, I was going to say we rejoice. Sometimes we don't because the prices were down or the crops were bad, right? But they were remembering God's provision for them right then and there. How God provided the rain that was needed for that crop to grow. How God provided that harvest for them. But they were also looking forward. They were looking to God in the future to provide rain for harvest. And so this is what they're celebrating when Jesus says on that last day, the great day, which would have been the eighth day of this celebration as described in the Old Testament. On that eighth day, there's also each day there were required sacrifices of a certain number of bulls, a certain number of lambs, and so forth. But on the last day, there was also grain offerings, a drink offering, that was described, and in the Bible it doesn't go into that much detail, but in other Jewish writings there's the detail of the water was significant, because I think in more recent times, as far what we're talking about here in the New Testament, that water was drawn from the pool of Siloam, which was a pool of healing there, and then it was carried into the temple. And so when we get to the verse 38, where Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, As the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And then also in the previous verse, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Jesus is really making an outlandish claim here in the Jewish people's mind. Because they're recalling God's provision of water in the wilderness for their harvest. And now who is Jesus saying he is? He's saying, I am that God. I am that water. I am the one who provides for you, for your daily needs. And then as we see now, also we know for our spiritual needs. So Jesus is making the claim that he is that living water. And we'll see that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, all of them try to find ways to trap Jesus because they want him arrested and out of the way, because in their minds, this is blasphemy. But he's saying, I have that living water. And then from that living water that is given to you, what is supposed to flow out of us? That living water. So that people will come to see and know who he is. Verse 39 finishes up. It says, now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so here we have the promise of what we're celebrating today, the day of Pentecost, to the disciples, when the Spirit is going to come to that place, rest on them in those tongues of fire, the wind blows through and the people are filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying that is going to happen. And that is going to be what is going to be the source of what makes this living water flow out of each of you who believe in me. And so what I want to do is go back to the beginning of the message now. And as we think about some of the aspects that have happened in our service this morning already in the waters of baptism, what happens? It's the outpouring of that Holy Spirit coming through water in the Word, entering people's lives and beginning a faith process that, like we said, it's going to have to be nurtured throughout our lives. But there's a faith process, God personally coming to us in baptism. In confirmation, especially the junior confirmation, it's going to happen in a few moments. This is where you as individuals say, I want this faith. I want this Christian faith as my own. Because I know growing up as a child, you're brought to church by your parents. You kind of just rely on the faith of your parents. My parents believe, I believe. My parents say this, that's what I believe. But at some point, you have to say, this is what I believe. And in confirmation, you are confirming that faith. You're saying, I want that Spirit to be a part of my everyday life. In our adult, we have some adult confirmations. We have some adults transferring in from various places. That's some of this same stuff going on. We're saying, I want this to be a part of my life. But also with the families that are joining, I'm going to say that we see an outflowing of the Spirit's work. Because people are joining this church, St. John, today, because when they come here, hopefully they hear, first of all, the true Word of God. Second is, I think they see the Spirit at work through each of your lives. They're welcome. It's a welcoming church. They feel like the love of Christ is here. They want to be a part of what we're doing. So in everything that we have going on here today, and in a moment we're going to receive the Lord's Supper too, where Jesus himself comes to us personally and fills us with his forgiveness in life. So every aspect of our service today is the Spirit that came that first Pentecost Sunday working through our lives. I'm going to say, if God wants, one thing that he would really want in my mind would be for all of us to have a deep spiritual craving. I mean, a craving and a thirst and a hunger for Him that you really can't describe. I thought about this. Have you ever had a craving? And most of it, when do we think of cravings most of the time? When someone is pregnant, right? You know, they get these weird cravings like ice cream and pickles or something, some weird combination like that. But we all probably have cravings at times. Sometimes it's food. You know, hey, tacos sound really good tonight, and what do? We go get tacos, or we make tacos. You may be sitting around the house saying, you know, man, sure sounds really neat if we could go fishing. And what do? You probably go fishing, because if you have that craving and that urge to do it, you're going to do everything you can to make that happen. Shopping. You're sitting around. Oh, I need a new pair of shoes. I want to go shopping. And what do? Before you know it, you're loaded up in the car with some of the girls, and you're off to the shopping center you go. We have these cravings in our lives, and most of the time there's nothing that will stop us from that craving. That's the kind of craving we need to have for our spiritual life. A deep spiritual craving. One that says, I'm going to church Sunday. I want to go. I want to be in Sunday school. I want to be in Bible class Sunday school. I want to be there so that I can learn. I want to spend personal prayer time, devotion time at home every day, because I want a closer relationship with Jesus Himself. I'm going to address you four confirmands for just a moment. That is the spiritual craving I would like to see in each of you. I want to encourage you to do that. I say this every year, and I'm not trying to be negative in any sense, really. But every single year I say, this is the group. This is the group that's finally going to get it. And guess what? I'm wrong every time. There's usually one or two faithful, and the rest, I might see them at the senior recognition Sunday. I want you to have a spiritual craving for your Savior Jesus Christ. I want that to be a part of your everyday life, because it's so important. He's the one that sustains us. He's the one that helps you through the challenges of high school. He's the one that helps you through the challenges of everyday life that you meet up with each and every day. When it may seem like there's no one else to turn to, He's always there. Always there waiting for you to say help or thanks. Or, can you help me out here? He's there. All of us, every single one of us, need a deep spiritual craving. We can't live without Him. He is the life-giving water. He is the one that brings forgiveness, because He died on the cross. He is the one that promises eternal life, because He rose from the dead. We need Him each and every day. And I pray that God works in our hearts a passion for a deep spiritual connection with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the gift of Your Spirit that You bring to us through various ways, through the waters of baptism and through Your word. Lord, we ask that would light a passion in our hearts, so that we daily turn to You, that we weekly join together with fellow believers in Christ to worship You. And Lord, that most importantly, we hold fast to Your promise of forgiveness in life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.